Opponents of Governor Paula Page's income tax overhaul plan overflowed a hearing room today as the second week of public airings on the governor's proposal got underway at the statehouse. Some lawmakers on the legislature's Taxation and Appropriations Committee strongly criticized the plan. Meanwhile, members of the public and lobbyists spoke out against provisions that would expand the sales tax to currently exempt goods and professional services. A.J. Higgins has more.
For years, Mainers who love their snacks could avoid paying taxes on some of their treats simply by choosing foods that met certain nutritional qualifications. But there are relatively few tax havens for the hungry anymore under Governor Paula Page's income tax reform plan. Richard Rosen, the governor's chief of finance, says the list of processed foods that would no longer be exempt from a proposed 6.5% sales tax has been greatly expanded.
Corn chips, pretzels, beef jerky, processed nuts and seeds, and many dessert and bakery items.
The sales tax expansion to those currently tax-exempt goods would be coupled with a wide-ranging new tax assessment on professional services, such as attorney's fees and pet grooming, to entertainment activities such as movie tickets and ski passes. All of the new tax revenue is needed, Rosen says, to fund a reduction in the state's top income tax rate of a little more than 2% and provide other tax relief. Rosen says the whole plan is driven by the conclusion that these taxes are discouraging people and businesses from coming to Maine.
We're here today because Maine's tax code is outdated. It's also uncompetitive regionally, nationally, and globally. We need a new approach that incentivizes businesses to locate and expand in Maine, individuals to work and raise their families here, and retirees to make Maine their state of residence.
To some economists, it all sounds good, in theory. But many state policymakers remain unconvinced. Representative Diane Russell, a Portland Democrat on the Taxation Committee, says it's not high taxes that are discouraging young people such as herself from staying in Maine.
We are not leaving the state because of the tax rates. We are leaving the state because there are no good-paying jobs, or there are very few.
As an example of Maine's current tax impact on working families, Rosen said a family of three earning $50,000 a year in Portland would carry the 11th highest tax burden in the country. But some of the administration's real-world examples of how a lower tax rate would improve the state's economic climate were challenged by Democratic lawmakers who viewed them as anecdotes. Appropriations Committee member Gay Grant of Gardner wanted more.
I'm hoping that we will see some data on how this plan is shown to be pro-growth, not assumed to be pro-growth. So I would love to see the data or studies.
We're not operating in a vacuum, and if anybody is a defender of the status quo, I would like to see their data on how a high-income tax serves our interests going forward.
Senator Roger Cates of Augusta was one of the few Republicans to respond to some of the Democratic criticism during the morning segment of the hearing, a segment that was dominated by lobbyists opposed to the expansion of the sales tax to professional services. Charles Sultan represents the Maine Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. He said the new tax on attorneys' fees would hit lawyers with small rural practices the hardest, as well as those who represent the poor.
We've had multiple discussions about the provision of indigent legal services here before, about how difficult it is, how little those lawyers are being paid, and you're adding a huge administrative burden onto that.
Lawmakers will continue their work Wednesday with a review of how the state budget affects programs that impact agriculture, conservation, and forestry. For MPBN News, I'm A.J. Higgins.